This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast that's all things business across the state of Florida. If you've been tuning in lately, you know that Small Biz Florida is on the road again. It's all taking place here in Orlando at the beautiful Radisson right across the street from SeaWorld, and it is the 6th annual Florida Rural Economic Development Association. The good news about this conference is that I've really mastered saying the word rural. Kind of a tough word, but I got it down now. This conference is all about conversations in how to support, assist, provide resources to rural communities and rural counties to help them grow and expand their economic development footprint. Room is full. There's about 300 folks over there, all kinds of companies and organizations here to talk about rural economic development. And one of those companies that is a big player here in this conversation is Duke Energy. And we've got with us right now Mark Hohenstein, who serves as Managing Director for Economic Development at Duke Energy. Mark, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation. You know, obviously, big-time organization, big-time power company. I mean, a lot of moving parts, a lot of support and resources for economic development and small business at Duke Energy.
Absolutely. We've been in Florida since 1899. We actually started as a company that provided ice, believe it or not.
Wow.
And we grew from there, providing lights and expanding our footprint. Now we're in 34 counties around the state, 14 of which are rural counties.
Wow.
And so we do a lot to support our rural counties in economic development and in their communities.
Nice. I'm looking forward to hearing about Duke Energy and what you guys are doing. But let's start as we always do, Mark. Just a little bit of your background, pathway to your current role at Duke Energy.
Sure. I graduated from Florida State in Tallahassee, and as soon as I got out of college, I found that the jobs that were out there, I didn't have enough experience. And so I went to the Florida Department of Commerce at the time and asked them if I could work for free to get some experience. And they had an internship opportunity, so I did that and finally got a job with the Department of Commerce and started working as development rep there. And that led to an opportunity when the legislature brought Enterprise Florida into the mix. I joined Enterprise Florida and worked for Enterprise Florida for 5 years. During that time, I worked on a project, the Mitsubishi Power Systems project in Orlando, and I got to know the utility really well. Worked with Florida Power Corp at the time, Ray Gilley, if anyone knows that name. And then, of course, they asked me to consider a job, and I joined the power company in 2001. So that was Florida Power Corp, but we became Progress Energy. And then Progress Energy in 2012 was purchased by Duke Energy. And it's been a fantastic journey. I've enjoyed it. Lots of new things all the time and opportunities to serve.
Nice. And I gotta point out, too, before we turned on the record button, before we hit the record button, I remembered you were recognized, I think it was maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, time flies, at the Florida Economic Development Conference as Economic Development Professional of the Year. Am I getting that right?
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
No. Yeah, that was such an honor. You think about what if, that would be amazing. And they were so kind to name me as that award winner. But it's only because of all the efforts that the people that built, they put time into your development, the mentors that you have through life, and the opportunities, like I said, to serve. It leads to opportunities like that.
Yeah, and after we're done talking about Duke Energy, I want you back for another segment to talk about how to get a job when you graduate from college.
Oh, yeah.
You offer your services for free.
I have a passion for that. I will sell you.
Well, listen, I think often about young people, you know, sometimes they don't get that connection that, Got to make those contacts.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
And it will lead to good things. It really will.
And you're a great example of that. So incredible work, impressive. Let's talk about Duke Energy. You know, obviously you can't have a conversation about economic development in the state of Florida without talking about the major power companies, Florida Power and Light, great supporter of economic development, Duke Energy, same way. I mean, you are baked in to economic development. Talk about Duke Energy. Mission, sure. Purpose?
Sure, absolutely. So we provide power to 1.9 million customers throughout the state. We actually, if I can go back to history a little bit, after World War II, you look at the late 40s, and the economy is really starting to heat up. And our company at the time, and many utilities like us, did this where they started to form these groups within the companies to grow business. And so you had residential development, you had a commercial development department, you had an industrial development department. And as those departments grew and saw opportunities, they started helping our community. In those areas as well. I mean, on the residential side, you started seeing appliance stores pop up. And these were, the utilities were planting these stores so that people would use electric appliances, right? Well, likewise, on the industrial development side, we were starting to invest in communities to help create organizations, economic development organizations and chambers and whatnot that would help to grow those communities' base. Obviously, it leads to new customers for the power company, but more importantly, it leads to those jobs, capital investment, and tax base for those communities. So it's a win-win all around, but that started to grow. And so you see some of the first investors in these organizations were your power companies. You fast forward, and we at Duke are trying to help our communities become what they want to be. What does success look like for you as a county or a city? We're here to be a partner alongside you, not to tell you how it's going to be done. And so we've created some basic programs that help to infuse opportunities and competitiveness into our communities so that they can compete for those things. One thing that you heard about here at the conference today was from Retail Strategies. We partnered with them on what we call our Next Level Retail Exchange event, and that occurred back in March of this year. And we're going to have another one next year in February. But what that is doing is really building the base in rural counties. Often we'll see is if we try to bring a company to consider a community, they want to know what amenities do you have here? Where will my employees shop? Where will they get groceries? Right. Where will they live? You know, those things. And if we don't have anything to point to, we can't sell them on the community. So it starts with that base, that retail base that we worked on. So we're helping some communities that just say, hey, I don't know about getting that manufacturer right now, but I definitely need a grocery store. Right. So we're trying to help them build that base at that foundation and then grow from there for what they want to become. Right. So that's one area. Sites is another. We've talked a lot about site readiness and how important that is. If you don't have a place to put that business, a home for them, a site for them, you're not going to get in the mix. And so for years now, in Florida, we've done this since 2013. We've been actually coming alongside the communities, identifying sites that they feel like these have some potential. And then we will bring in a consultant, a site consultant, that is actually working with the kinds of clients that they'd like to see in their community. So we always pair it up with a specific consultant. And then have that consultant evaluate the property as if they're considering it for their client, and then give us recommendations on what would it take to get this site ready, get it more competitive. And then after that program is done, we'll come along with the community and we'll say, hey, we'll put grants into this, we'll put money into studies, help you get that site, what we call our advancing site. So we're going to advance that site to more of a competitive level and then eventually start to market that site. So helping them with site videos, marketing brochures, wow. Get that site out. So full process.
Wow. That is amazing for a community to have a resource like that, and really a partner in all of this.
Yeah.
So let's go back to a couple of those things. You talked about a lot of really interesting and important aspects there. Talk about the chicken and the egg concept here, which I think you touched on. We really can't go out and recruit this manufacturing facility before we have some infrastructure and. Infrastructure not meaning pipes and wires, but literally consumer infrastructure, restaurants, residential areas.
Right.
Is that a fair statement? You've got to really sort of build that first. And then go take a deep dive into the potential recruitment?
It's key for a community to understand what their targets are, but in many cases, those targets are going to have employees. And if they have those employees, they need to know how are my employees going to feel about living in this community? Right. Do they feel welcome? Do they have the amenities they need? So I think that's important. But then there are other targets. I talk about company targets, industry targets, that might not be as intensive on that end. I think the key thing, Tom, is to really think about what is it that my community will benefit from? What will my community accept? We often talk with communities about, hey, it doesn't have to be that heavy truck traffic project that you're bringing in. Right. Maybe it's a tax base that you're trying to raise. And so if we can bring in, let's say, an industrial project, these companies are going to pay, for every dollar they pay in taxes, they may demand 30 cents in services. Whereas a residential community, a residential taxpayer may demand $1.30 for every dollar they pay. So it's like thinking through that and helping and coming alongside our community, just saying, hey, let's work on this together. One thing that we offered today at the conference was we had Ben Friedman, what we call our Duke economist, speak to the group. And
I was in there for that. Excellent. Oh, good. Presentation. Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. So Ben is able to help communities also think through from the data standpoint. Let's analyze this. Let's see what you've got in your community and just help them come up with a strategy. Right. So that's what we're trying to do.
And, this morning I was talking to a couple of economic development professionals from a couple of rural communities. And, they said exactly what you said. The first step is really for the community to decide what do we want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the target industries that we'd like to see come in? What matches our marketplace? So again, that's exactly what we heard from the economic development professionals. Go back to this whole aspect of you've got an economist on staff, you've got professionals like yourself on staff. So this is really a very powerful resource and, again, partner for these communities, is it not?
Absolutely. So, Tom, what we did is we really ramped up our offerings in about 2021, end of 2021, and we first surveyed our partners. We wanted to know what is it that you need? What are the resources and services that you need? And then we crafted and created this program around that. And so we have a project management team. We call it our industry recruitment team, led by Danielle Ruiz. And their job is to, again, work with the community. If you've got a project, if you've got a company you're trying to recruit to your community, we're your ally, we're your partner at the table. We're there to do as little or as much as you need us to do. We can sing the praises of this community. We can try to get the power in there. We can talk about rates and stuff like that. So they're going to be our front line working on the project. But we also have a team that's really focused on, entrepreneurship. Can we help to maybe grow something in this community? It doesn't have to be a large company, but maybe we can start investing in innovation and entrepreneurship and grants and whatnot. So John Fremstead leads that team, and John's trying to really get the innovation ecosystem going in these communities. Right. So it's helping incubators, it's helping accelerators, and grant programs. And then we also have, I introduced you to Lisa Rain earlier. Lisa's our marketing person, so she's looking at perceptions. She's looking at why is it that the companies aren't considering us? Is there something that we need to overcome or message? Because we know we've got a lot of great opportunities and advantages in Florida. And so her effort is to try to get that message out there and to really help people see the great opportunity that's here. And then we do sites. I mentioned sites. Chris Wimsatt's covering that. I mentioned Ben Freeman before. We're covering all those bases.
And what I like about Duke and what I like about what you said earlier was your service area, I guess, is what it's called. Your service area includes, what'd you say, 15 of the 30 rural communities. So you're basically operating in 50% of what we're talking about here for the next 2 days.
Yeah, we're heavily rural focused. North Florida, we serve. So just to give you the geography, Highlands County to the south, that's the southernmost county we serve. We cover the Metro Orlando, Tampa Bay areas. But then we go I-75, I-10, and I-10 all the way over to Mexico Beach. So Bay on the west and Hamilton on the east.
Nice. So, and then, we're in the business of small business, and so of course we always like to touch on that. And again, you talked about earlier that part of what Duke Energy can do is you can actually partner with a private enterprise, partner with a client, a customer of yours, to help them understand expansion opportunities from an existing facility.
Absolutely. We do it all the time. We'll have a company that says, you know what, our business is good. We're growing. We've outgrown our footprint, and we're going to need a larger building, or maybe we need a site. That's our bread and butter. We're helping companies find those sites, find those buildings right. That'll meet their needs. So we work with them all the time.
I mean, your role and your team, you're almost kind of become part of a organization's team, their economic development, their site selection team.
Absolutely. And as you know, power has become so very vital to every company. And so we are helping them think through, will that site have the power I need? Can you get it there in the time I need? Right. And those are things that we often forget, and right. we go straight for the building or whatever, but right. we need to think about those things.
Yeah, and you know, that is a great point, because those of us who live in kind of populated areas and coastal communities, you know, you never think about those things because, you know, power and internet's all over the place. But there are still parts of the state of Florida where you'd have to actually put in power.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the great things, and this is something that differs between utilities, but at Duke Energy Florida, we're going to look at that project. Let's say the company is going to expand and they want to know how much I'm going to have to pay for my infrastructure. We will actually calculate what is the annual revenue for that project, and then multiply by four. So four times the annual revenue is what Duke will pay to serve that customer, as long as it's standard overhead service. So in many cases, for some of these small businesses that are expanding, we can go in and put new infrastructure in, and they will have a minimal expense to it, unless they have special requirements, of course. But that's advantage, you know, when you talk about other services that you might get, you may have to pay for the full freight on that, whereas right. we're going to help you. We're going to come alongside and help you.
How does a small business owner, operator, get in touch with Duke? You have some small business programs, audit programs. You can help a small business owner kind of review their power bills. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Tom. So I would encourage them first to check the website. There is actually a small business section on there that you can go to. But what you would find is there's ways that you can look at our energy efficiency programs. And as you mentioned, we can actually have an energy assessor, a business assessor, come out to their building and take a look at the way that they use power, and then walk them through, and they'll produce a very detailed report on what they can do for free to save power, what they can do for minimal expense, and then what they can do for the long term.
Wow.
And then there are some credits that are available that are out there. So there's a lot that they can do. And I recommend every company go through it. Why would you not?
Why would you not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you not use the services? Yeah. And again, we built this whole small Biz Florida platform to make sure that small business owners know about all those assistance and resource programs.
Yeah.
So if you're a Duke customer, why would you not go online, pick up the phone, and say, let's take a look at my business?
Yeah. And I would say, like Melissa Satius, our president, mentioned, you know, subscribe to our texting service and, you know, get in the communication, get into communicating with us or hearing
right,
from us.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways to do that. And there's newsletters and other things. But the more you know, the more you can take advantage of.
I like it. DukeEnergy.com, maybe?
Duke-Energy.com. Okay. Right. So Duke-Energy.com.
It is Mark Hohenstein, Managing Director of Economic Development for Duke Energy. Incredible stuff, Mark. Again, I hope everyone who is in your service area takes advantage of all these programs and takes advantage of all that Duke can offer small business entrepreneurs and those looking to grow and expand their business.
Well, we would love to work with them, and thank you for your service to small businesses as well and this opportunity today.
We're just doing our little part.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you again, Mark. Appreciate all that you're doing through Duke Energy. Thank you for your support and your participation in the Florida Rural Economic Development Association.
We wouldn't miss it. We wouldn't miss it.
I see you guys at all kinds of events. I listen, you cannot miss Duke.
Yeah.
This is Small Biz Florida. I am Tom Kindred. It's all taking place here in Orlando at the beautiful Radisson. We are just one little crosswalk away from SeaWorld. It is the gathering of the Florida Rural Economic Development Association. It's their sixth annual summit, and the conversation is all about growing and expanding the rural communities in the state of Florida. This is Small Biz Florida. Stay tuned. More to come.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.